reading from Genesis chapter 4 today. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be. If you do what is right, you will not be accepted." That doesn't seem to work right. Oh, okay. "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Have you ever felt like you're going nutsy cuckoo? I felt like just a minute ago there when I get my words all mixed up trying to read it. But I mean, sometimes our emotions go all wacky. And there's two things that we're really dealing with. We've got to separate the two of them. There's our brain, the physical part of us, and then there's our mind. And sometimes our brain chemistry can be messed up, and that's where we need to see a doctor. We need medication, because that will affect our mental state. But most of the time, our minds are what is controlling our emotions. And the scripture tells us in Philippians to have the mind of Christ. Now, I like another version that says have the attitude of Christ. Because our mind is going to set our attitudes. So we're going to talk about mastering our emotions today. I noticed we sang a lot about heaven and we sang a lot about death today. I don't know if you noticed that. And I started thinking about, we'll be able to go and see Abel. He was the first person to go into heaven. And he was murdered. What a way to go to heaven, huh? By his own family. You think your family's dysfunctional? The first family's very dysfunctional. The brother killed his brother. And that's how the human race started off. And it was an emotional thing in the mind of Cain that caused him to do what he did. So there's five ways to ensure positive emotions. Here's number one. Give God the first, the best, not your leftovers. You see, Cain brought some fruit from his field, but it says he just brought an offering. It says that Abel brought the first and the best of his flock. He was really thinking about what he was doing when he went to bring his offering and to worship God. Cain just was doing it out of rote. Cain was just doing it to get it done. And because of that, God was not pleased with his offering, and we see that it messed up Cain's emotions. He got angry. He got distraught. Number two, the way to ensure positive emotions in your life is evaluate your dedication to God. Am I acting upon mere natural instinct? That's what Cain was doing. He was just giving to God the offering because that's what he was supposed to do. And that's why a lot of times what we do, we just go through the motions. We just go through the motions. Am I acting on selfish impulses? We have to ask ourselves that question. Sometimes we do what we think is good for us and we don't ask God about it. And then later on, we have an emotional state that we have to deal with. The third thing that we need to ensure positive emotion is evaluate your anger. This is an important one. Sometimes we have hidden anger we don't know is there. So it can go way back years into our childhood, or it can even go back to last week. And when anger is not taken care of, and unforgiveness, a lot of times those go hand in hand. Emotionally, it begins to bring depression to us, and we need to evaluate our anger. Now, we know what Cain's anger was. He was angry at his brother for doing what was right. Isn't that awful? And sometimes people get angry with you as a Christian for doing what is right. And so sometimes we get angry at people for not doing what is right. But whatever our anger is, we have to evaluate our anger and bring it before God and say, God, what am I angry about? And then He will begin to help us to sort it out. You may even be angry at God. I've been angry at God before. And I told Him, because He's got big shoulders, He can handle it. Because things weren't going the way I thought they were supposed to be going. My life wasn't going the way I thought it was going. And if you hold that anger in, if you don't recognize it, it begins to turn into all kinds of emotional feelings that go wacky. Depression, discouragement, so on and so forth. Now we know why Cain was angry. He was angry because of envy and jealousy. And anger always leads to depression, and it always leads to anxiety. The fourth one is determine the cause of your depression. Do you have misguided anger? I'm going to be very vulnerable here with you. I'm going to share something with you that goes back to my childhood. Most of you know my mother just passed away. My father passed away a few years ago. And we weren't really a church-going family. I found the Lord right after I graduated from high school and gave my life to Him. I have one sister, she's older than me, and 4 years older than me. And our parents, we didn't realize this, played us against each other. So we never liked each other, we never had a relationship. Matter of fact, I was angry at my sister all these years, for 60 years, and she was angry at me for things that we never did to each other because our parents played us against each other. I know that sounds horrible, but it's the honest truth. So I had anger at my sister for things she had never done that my parents said that she did, and vice versa. And that anger started to turn into depression. It wasn't until my mother's funeral that we started comparing notes and found out, wait a minute, we were being emotionally abused. We were being played against one another. And guess what? For the first time in my life, I have a relationship with my sister. I have a sister. She's actually going to come out and see me. Now you're saying, well, we got a really messed up pastor here. Come on, you have dysfunction in your family too. Look at the first family. We really had nothing to do with each other for 60 years because of what was done to us as children. So you have to evaluate your anger. And you have to determine the cause of your depression. Is it misguided anger or is it anger? Is it negative thoughts? Think about what you're thinking about. A lot of times we don't think about what we're thinking about. Sometimes we're having stinking thinking and someone needs to tell us. Sometimes it's okay to call up a friend that you know is going to tell you to just shut up and straighten up, right? You need someone to just slap you on the side of the head like the Holy Spirit and say, that stinking thinking, and I have a person in my life that I do that with every once in a while. And he lives way out of St. Louis, and he'll let me have it, but then he'll pray with me afterwards. Sometimes we're even somewhere deep down in, we're planning an agenda of revenge and hurt towards someone that has hurt us. And that's going to affect us negatively in our emotions. The fifth one is the most important one. It seems to be very difficult for us to do, and it should be, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to focus on Jesus Christ, not your circumstances. Not your circumstances. Some of us are going through some really difficult situations and circumstances in our life, and this is the time that we focus upon Jesus and cultivate a deeper, richer, intimate relationship with Him. Many of you have probably heard of the Flying Mandalas. They were perhaps the world's greatest family when it came to tightrope walking. I don't know why you would do that for a profession. it's quite dangerous, but hey, whatever floats your boat. But Carl Mandela, I don't know if you remember him, he had the capacity for concentration on the task of going across a tightrope that was unremarkable. But Wandella fell to his death while he was walking a tightrope. I don't know if you remember when this happened. But he was walking between two high-rise buildings in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Later, Wandella's wife said before her husband had fallen for the first time since she had known him, he had been concentrating on falling. He had been concentrating on falling instead of the tightrope. And he had personally supervised the attachment of the guide wires, which he had never done before. See, often the difference between our emotions mastering us and us mastering our emotions is the direction that we're looking. What direction are we looking to? We always know that we can look to Jesus Christ, and he will let us know whether our thoughts are good or whether they're bad, and he will help us to have the mind that he has. The New York Times asked Jimmy Johnson way back what he told his players before leading the Dallas Cowboys out of the field for the 1993 Super Bowl. He said, I told them that if I laid this 2x4 here on the floor, everybody here would walk across it and none of you would fall. Because your focus is walking on that length of that board. But if I put that board high up in the air, like 10 stories between two buildings, only a few of you will make it because your focus would be on falling. What are you focusing on? What am I focusing on? What we focus on will affect our emotional state. Johnson told his players not to focus on the crowd or the media or the possibility of falling, but to focus on each play of the game as if it were a good practice session, and then the Cowboys won the game 52-7. What are we focusing on? Focus on Jesus Christ. Now there's four ways to master your emotions. Do what is right even when it goes against your feelings. Do what is right even when it goes against your feelings. I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation what it says here about Cain. Verse 6 and 7. Why are you so angry? This is the Lord talking to Cain. Why are you so angry, Cain? Why are you so emotionally disturbed? Why are you so messed up? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you and control your emotion and your mindset, your mental stability. You must subdue it and master it. Did Cain do that? No, he didn't. The next way to master our emotions is to overcome your thoughts with words. Speak the word of God to yourself. Look at verse 8, where Cain made his mistake. He used words. I'm going to read it to you. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let us go out into the fields. You see, he had this thought of killing his brother, but when he spoke it, it became reality. When he invited his brother to go out into the field with him, and there Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. David said this in Psalm 19:14. He said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Solomon said in Proverbs verse 10 and 11, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. We need to speak life-giving words to ourselves. The third way we master our emotions is take captive every thought. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He said, we take captive every thought. Every thought. That sounds like an awful lot, doesn't it? But we have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What are you thinking? Is it stinking thinking? Get control of it and bring it under obedience to Christ. Take it captive. The fourth way to master your emotions is view your thoughts the way God views them. Psalm 94:11, David said, "The Lord knows the thoughts of a man. He knows that they are futile." We have so many futile thoughts. What are futile thoughts? Unproductive is what it means. We have empty thoughts. Sometimes we have useless thoughts, even worthless thoughts. And I'm going to go over some thoughts that go through our head. I can't list them all. There'd be hundreds of them. But let's go over some of the futile thoughts that damage our emotions. Here's one. Have you ever said this to yourself? "I can't take it anymore. Things are just too hard. I can't do this." Well, what we have to do is we have to put God's word into our head instead. I like that, it rhymes. Put God's word in your head instead. And say, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." There's an Old Testament one said, "Nothing is too hard for the Lord." The Lord's going to partner and go through this with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Nothing's too hard for Him. He can bring you through whatever you're going through. Maybe you've had this thought before. "I just can't help myself. You know, this sin is just too hard in my life. I'm addicted. I'm just going to continue on doing it. There's no way I can overcome it. God understands. He made me. Why even try?" And it's a besetting sin, and every time we do it, we feel guilty. And we have the wrong emotions again. We need to quote the Word of God. We can say, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." We can say, "No temptation has taken me, but such is common to man, and God has made a way of escape for me." That's the Word of God. That is truth, that He will do that for us. Or we can use the Old Testament scripture that says, "My help comes from the Lord." When we can't do it, He will do it. He can do it. God is able to do more than we could ever imagine. And that brings us to the next one. Number three, "I don't want this responsibility anymore." Have you ever been there? There's been some young mothers that have been there before. They have little ones, you know, like four of them under the age of five. "I can't do this anymore. I don't want this responsibility anymore." We need to quote the Word of God and say, "He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ever ask, imagine, or possibly think." Another one, "I can't wait any longer." It's something you've been waiting on in your life. Have you ever been there before? "I can't wait any longer. I just can't wait." The scripture says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." We need to quote that to ourselves. You know, waiting is usually where we learn the most from God, is when we're in a time of waiting. That's why there's so many scriptures that talks about wait. Wait on the Lord. Here's another thought that we have sometimes. "My life is miserable. I'd be better off dead." And, you know, teenage suicide is on the increase. And I believe a lot of it has to do is because they don't know the godly principles of having the thoughts of God put into their head instead of their own thoughts. And they see no way out. But they need to know the Word of God just like we do. And we have to say that to ourselves when we think that our life is miserable. We just have to say, "Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world." We need to quote the Word of God and change our thought process. Another one we have is, "I have every right to be mad." Have you ever been there? You tell people that. I've seen it on Facebook before. "I deserve more" is another one. "I deserve better than this. I deserve better things." And what we have to do is we have to erase that thought because it's going to crash our emotions and get us into a state that we shouldn't be in. And we have to quote scriptures like, "God's grace is sufficient. He's going to bring me through. God is always there." Here's one more. This is one I think that we in Western culture deal with a lot. And that is, "I want to be happy. Can I just be happy? I need to be happy. Can I always be happy?" There's a scripture that says, "Happy is the man whose God is the Lord." The closer to the Lord we are, the more blessed and more happy we're going to be. But we're not always going to be happy. I want to quote to you something that Peggy Noonan said. I think this is so, so important. Listen to this, please. She said, "I think we have lost the old knowledge that happiness is overrated. Our ancestors believed in two worlds and understood this to be the solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short one, where we are right now." She goes on and she says, "We are the first generation of humankind that actually expected to find happiness here on earth. And our search for it has caused such unhappiness." Think about it. Dr. Larry Crabb, a Christian psychologist, said this, "Feeling better has become more important to us than finding God." Let me say that one again. Feeling better has become more important to us than finding God. And when that happens, we lose out with God. And especially parents that have young children, those children are going to lose out with God. Just want to wrap it all up by just saying this. Clear your head and your thoughts with the power of words, the Word of God especially. I was going through a time, quite a few years ago, and there was some situations going on in the church, and they just seemed impossible. And I was just bearing the weight of it all the time. Couldn't sleep. So I took all some of these scriptures that I mentioned to you, and I typed them in huge print, put them on paper, and I hung them all over my bedroom. I had things up there like, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," and all kinds of different psalms and everything. And so I would look at them before I go to bed and read them over and over and over again before I pray. And then I'd look at them again before I go off to the office of the church or go do things for the church, read them again in the morning. Sometimes I'd have to go in there in the afternoon at lunch and read them again. Body remembers, they're all taped there everywhere around my room. And it was sort of embarrassing because, as a Methodist pastor, the pastor parish relations committee has to come over and inspect your house once a year. So they're coming in and they're like, "Steve got amnesia or something? Is he he's got Alzheimer's? He's trying to memorize scripture or whatever." I had it all over my walls. And I suggest that you do that. I mean, not too many people are going to be coming into your bedroom. Do that. But if you're going through a struggle with your emotions today, find those scriptures and the psalms that are going to help you to get over your stinking thinking that are affecting your emotions negatively. And one of the ones that you can read, and I can tell you, I can assign this one to you, you can find other ones, and read it every day, maybe even several times a day. Read Psalm 91. It's a really great one. With that, I would like us to pray and prepare our hearts for communion today. Lord, we thank you for your word, where it's truth, and help us combat the enemy in our lives. Help us, Lord, to overcome through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony. We ask it in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to let you know that we do have a station for those who need gluten-free. There's gluten-free communion over there, next to the nursery along the wall, if you want gluten-free. But let us do our communion liturgy, and it'll be in your bulletin. "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" We are made one with Jesus Christ through the cross.
We are made one with each other in Jesus Christ through his death.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of a one loaf.
The bread which we break is sharing in the body of Christ.
The cup which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ.
Eternal God, we give thanks for this holy mystery, which you have given yourself to.
our servers come forward.